Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your host, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how you doing?
Jake, I am doing great today. How you doing, bro?
Hey, man, we're going to let one fly today. We're going to see if it sticks. We have a very special episode today. Today's episode is entitled, Don't Be Like Tom and Giselle. Now, Gino and I grew up in a very different era. The slogan in our era for the top sportsman was, Be Like Mike. Remember it well. Huge Michael Jordan fan. Today, we're saying, don't be like Tom and Giselle. We're not going to pretend that we know what's happening in their personal lives and all the implications that went into the divorce, but there's a few things that are very clear here. Number one, the FTX crypto collapse. That was a total disaster. Now, they starred in a commercial, $20 million ad campaign, promoting FTX, actually promoting people to invest into FTX. We all know how that ended. Completely wiped out. People lost tons of money. Now, what are the problems with this? They're very clear. Tom's getting sued. They misled the public with something that they didn't really understand or know much about. People got hurt. Now, the Tom and Giselle brand, not including the divorce, is hurt. So Tom's brand independently is hurt because he promoted something where people got hurt, forever tarnished. Giselle's brand as well. They were both in the commercial. Now, it gets worse. They took equity in FTX. Okay. So they promoted something. They had $45 million in equity. Now it's a big goose egg, down to zero. So there's value lessons here. They promoted something that they probably didn't understand. Folks got hurt based on their promotion. The company lost $2 billion to investors. A lot of meat here, Gino. What's going on?
Where to start, my friend? First thing, First thing I think we should talk about is history, and history does repeat itself. This is bigger than Madoff, and this is how you know that you are at the end of a bull run, and there's been so much frothiness in the market and
irrational exuberance.
This young man in his 30s, who, when you listen to him, and he actually said, "I wish," and this is SBF. Not MJ. This is Sam Bankman-Fried actually said in an interview, "I wish there was more government oversight." That is one of the most moronic things that I've ever heard in my life. You wish there was more. You're the oversight. You're the one who created the thing. You should be the one that's saying, "I don't know what I'm doing here. Maybe I got to pull back the reins on myself." In other words, he is not what we promote on the 100-year real estate investor podcast.
He's not a responsibility junkie.
Responsibility junkie whatsoever. Now, as far as instability in the marketplace, that's what's going on. Why are investors freaking out? Because they're seeing things like this go on where people are throwing money and they don't understand the investor, the investment. What I'd like to say is we have a book called The Baby Money Soldiers coming out. And we can go on what baby money soldiers are. Go back and listen to the previous podcast. But rule number five and rule number six really are what the epitome of what we should all be doing. Number five, and I don't think Tom and Giselle were doing this. They weren't reinvesting their baby money soldiers into actually getting educated about the space. They saw it as easy money. Hey, I could promote this. Get how much did you say? $45 million in equity, whatever it is.
That's what they lost.
What they lost. I mean, Steph Curry's in it. There's a lot of people who got into it. They didn't understand the space. And
Larry Cinziano, David. I mean,
Jake, you're always breaking my balls about not getting into crypto, but Jake doesn't understand crypto and neither do I. So Jake doesn't have the time to actually spend in crypto. And I think if he saw it as an investment vehicle that fits his lifestyle and what he wants, and that it's printing money every month and giving him cash flow, then maybe he would spend the time, but he hasn't spent money on his baby money soldiers to invest in his education. Hence, he's not going to throw money into something that he doesn't understand. And I think over the last 3 to 4 years, look at the syndicators out there, look at the people investing in crypto, look at the people investing in stocks. That's what they're all doing. They're throwing their extra money in there and not investing in their education. So that's rule number five.
Gino, keep it here for a second because I've clearly defined what I want from an investment. I want monthly cash flow. I want tax benefits. I want equity and appreciation over time. So I have a clear definition of what I want out of an investment. Would I be getting that from crypto? The answer to me is no. Unless I don't, maybe. And again, you just said a minute ago, I don't fully understand crypto. I don't care to fully understand it because I have other things that I like to invest in. So to me, it's a shiny object. And if it's not clear to me that I'm getting the things that I want from an investment, I'm just passing on it. It's okay that it ran up, so much and then people were making so much money. I had people all around me. You're not in crypto. I'm making this. I'm making that. Every week we'd be at the dinner with a new couple or somebody that would be like pitching me on, oh my God, I love crypto so much. And people from our team were buying it. That's fine.
And Jake, to say this, there's nothing wrong with investing in it. If you understand it and if it's your business and you're looking at it every single day, obviously Tom and Giselle weren't doing that. And this leads me to rule number 6, only invest with partners that share similar values. We're going to talk about Rick Sapio and, you know, his family placemat in a little bit, but Rick talks about values-based decision-making. What Jake just said is that crypto does not align with his values on investing. So he passes on it. Now, did Tom and Giselle think to themselves, well, investing in this company, investing with this SBF dude, is he aligning with my values? I don't know if they did or they didn't, but Tom is the ultimate responsibility junkie. I mean, he's the greatest of all time in one sport. I mean, to think that he wouldn't be a responsibility junkie in other aspects of his life is pretty
ludicrous. There's no free lunches, Tom, and you know that, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so why would he go and invest? Because it was just an allure. It was just easy money. And I think a lot of us get caught up in that euphoria. We all do. But if you have the long-termism, if you have the responsibility mindset, if you have the ability to invest in your education and continue to repeat those, you would look at that opportunity and go, I don't know. I don't know if that opportunity sits well with me because I really don't understand it. I don't think the people putting it all together really truly understood it. And as you can see, this dude was paying off politicians. I mean, he's paying off politicians. And then he says, I wish there was more government oversight. You can't have it both ways, my friend.
One of the biggest donors to government that's saying they need more government oversight.
He's got $100,000 left in his net worth.
What are we really saying there?
Yes.
Right? Like
his net worth is $100,000. My son, who's 20 years old, has a bigger net worth than this dude.
His net worth should be negative because of the people that he burned. Okay. Well, he should be in the hole to people.
Yes. Well, he should be in jail. Hopefully he goes to jail. Hopefully, you know, we were talking about this. There should be repercussions for people like this because what happens is people out there who are raising capital to actually do good deals, who are syndicators, who are trying to raise money for multifamily, who are venture capitalists trying to find the next Airbnb, they're going to look at a Madoff and they're going to look at SBF and say, well, that's what rich people are. All rich people.
Does this guy really go
there
by SBF?
Yeah, they definitely really call him. They call him SBF. Yeah, they say call him SBF.
That's cute. That's cute.
It was cute. I mean, but that he's going to live in infamy right now. He had the biggest Ponzi scheme ever. This dwarfs what Madoff did. At least I can say that Madoff was an expert in what he was doing. Before he started his Ponzi scheme, Madoff was making about 50 mil a year on his legitimate business. Then he decided to get greedy. Always ask yourself, go back to the Psychology of Money podcast that Jake and I did a couple of weeks ago. How much is too much? And Madoff never asked himself that question. And I guess it was never too much. And then all of a sudden, money becomes like this object and he becomes greedy and is passionate. Meanwhile, maybe SBF felt the same way. How much is too much? You're building something amazing. Reinvest in it and understand what you're doing. And now that you look back, how many lives have you destroyed? And that's the thing. I think now when people look back at this, they're saying to themselves, like, once again, that those rich people's rich people. It has nothing to do with rich and poor. It has to do with the mindset. And I think what happens is they just took advantage of the situation.
Yeah. Tom's got blood on his hands. He's getting sued over it now. You know, and so what could he have done differently? I mean, I think, Gino, you nailed it. You need to look at things through a values perspective. Now, he could have said, and he may have believed crypto is great. Well, he probably should have, if he really did believe it and he's pitching the company, that's one thing. But leaving the $45 million in, that's a mistake. And really, you know, pitching something, you can go one way or another. I mean, he may have thought it was really great. And, you know, that's one thing. But if you don't really understand it or understand where the money's coming from or the stability of it, should you be pitching it? I think that's another conversation. I think you could, you know, land on either side of that, to be fair. But ultimately, leaving the 45 in it too, oh, man, just insult to injury over and over again there. So they really screwed the pooch on that one.
Jake, one of my favorite quotes, a person with money meets a person with experience. The person with experience usually gets the money, and the person with the money usually gets the experience. Neither happened here. I don't
think
Tom got
it. Neither of them had experience, right? This kid was 30. So you had no experience with no experience, Tom, taking money from everybody, and they blew it up.
As I'm saying,
they just destroyed it. So,
at least the guy with the, you know, the experience would get the money, but he got the money. He just completely blasted right through that money. And Tom, what kind of experience did he get? Yeah. Hopefully next time he looks at an investment opportunity, he'll think twice and go, I need to go with somebody who's trusted, somebody who's done it, somebody who has that track record.
Everybody got an experience on this one. Shouldn't be laughing about it because a lot of people got hurt. But now the second component to what's going on with Tom Brady right now, the divorce. Again, don't know their personal issues, okay? But what we do know is that she has a net worth of $400 million. Tom is believed to have a net worth of $250 million, okay? And not sure. Is he going to have to pay alimony? Is it more? Is it more like $400? I saw some different reports out there. Not sure, but what we do know is that even if it's $400 and it's $250, combined, that's $650 million. You get a divorce, there's going to be money wasted on attorneys. You're shooting your baby money soldiers in the head. Now, again, don't know what's going on between the two of them, but $650 million, a lot better than $250 million. And then the baby money soldiers you shoot in the head in the meantime, getting to that. So we talked before, what could they have done differently? Something that I was promoting, actually joking with Gino before this, there's something called the family placemat. We were talking about our buddy Rick Sapio. He developed this. Now, this is similar to what we talk about with our level 10 meetings. This is a meeting that you have with your spouse every week. You touch on things like current events for the week. What do the kids have going on? Where are the financials at? What do we need to do? What contractors are coming over to the house? Upcoming vacations, fitness, meals, etc. Doesn't have to be crazy and elaborate. It can be a 15 to a 30 minute meeting. And before this podcast, I'm busting Gino's chops because I've been promoting this to him. He hasn't been doing it. And he's going, oh shit, I got another podcast with my wife today. And I go, put her on right now. So she comes over and I'm pitching the two of them on this because I said, if you guys would have been nailing your family placemat meeting on Sundays before the week started, this would have never happened. And those little stupid arguments that we get into from time to time with our spouses evaporate when we're clear and we're dialed in on where each other's going throughout the week. Gino,
I just said to Jake, I said, Jake, I'm with my kids every day, all day. We homeschool our kids.
And
they're around.
The same shit.
I was at 9 o'clock last night. We walked to Publix. Afterwards, you come home. We pray the rosary at nighttime. It's like I'm with them all the time. Do I need to have another meeting? And I guess I need to have another meeting.
You don't need another meeting. You need one meeting. You need one meeting with the wife. That's the only one you need. And again, was Tom and Giselle doing this? I mean, clearly the reports coming out, she was frustrated with the time spent with football. Communication is usually where things start to break down in most business relationships, and I'm sure in the home as well. Communication is clear. Having those clearly defined rhythms, oh my goodness, it's been a game changer for us. We have a document detailed out. We cover it every week. We don't miss because we know the weeks that we do miss, there tends to be more frustration. We're bumping into each other. Oh, I thought you were supposed to be here. I thought you were supposed to be there. Clears it up really nicely. And Julia came in before. She said, well, we have a shared calendar. You guys weren't very clear on what was going on today because you need communication rhythms where you actually flesh it out and talk to each other.
Jake, you talk about values. If we could stay there for 1 second.
Sure.
Obviously, if you're looking at Tom and Giselle, now, like, once again, we don't know it, but Tony Robbins says, show me where a person spends their time and I'll show you what they value most. Now, obviously, being the greatest of all time, he's obsessed with what he's doing. He's continuing to play and he doesn't have to. So maybe that's an indication that his spouse sees that and she's like, well, he values what he's doing more than he values time with me. And for those of us out there, ultimately, it's great to have a legacy as the greatest football player of all time. But
he's already got it, though.
That's what I'm saying. But it becomes a drug.
This is like the Wolf of Wall Street when the guy already had it all and then he kept going for more and he blew it up.
It's the psychology of money. How much is too much? It's just with the same thing as the adulation. And once you get addicted to it, I think you just have to take a step back and reassess your life and say, what's so important in my life? I mean, obviously, most of the listeners that we have on our podcasts, they resonate with family. And I know we're all trying to get out there and trying to make a living and try to make more money and try to do it for our family. Maybe if Tom had stepped back and said, you know what, this may be destroying my family. I need to take a step back a little bit. I think if he had reassessed his values, because sometimes our values are subconscious. We don't really know them. So what I would say to everyone listening to the show right now, let's take a few seconds just to stop after you listen to the show, write down what your values are. I mean, obviously Jake and I are responsibility junkies. We're long-termism. We have integrity. We really value family time. Jake would probably say his fifth one, I'm going to say it, is control. Jake wants control. That's why he fired his boss at a Taco Bell and he went into business for himself. Those are Jake's. And I think our buddy Rick Sapio, he's got three: simplicity, probability, and leverage.
It's just because they rhyme.
Dude, I love them. I mean, like, listen, make things simple in life, make them probable, and use leverage to it. And that's what he's lived by. Those are his values. I mean, we have all different values. And I think maybe Tom didn't stop and say, really, what are my values? I mean, I've got an amazing wife at home. I've got an amazing life. This football thing's been great for so many years. How do I try to keep all of them at the same time? And it seems as if he valued the football over the house. And that's what ends up happening. I mean, it's got to be a difficult thing. But I think for all of us,
and let's Gino's, just be conscious. When he says house, he's talking about the family.
The family, yeah. Let's when you're out there right now, at the end of the show, think about what your values are. And are you living according to those values? And if you're not, what do you need to do to change? And Jake, I'll give you a quick example. When I was at the restaurant for years and years and years, I loved it early on because I didn't have a big family. I was out there trying to make money. I valued trying to grow the business. But at a certain point, I'm looking and going, saying to myself, I'm missing weekends here. I'm working on the holidays, and my values have changed to more of a family aspect. And I'm like, I'm not living in alignment with the values. And I was trying to create the business based around that. But you know, in the restaurant business, you're always working on the weekends, you're always working the holidays. And that's ultimately the reason that drove me to find you, drove me to get educated, and drove me to find the vehicle of multifamily, because the restaurant business was not aligning with my values. And I felt it every day. I wasn't happy because I didn't have that autonomy and I wasn't living with those values. So once again, what are you doing in life right now that doesn't feel right? And listen, it's not an easy thing to do. It took me a couple of years to actually work out the system. But after it's done, you're going to be living with house money. That's how I feel every day that I do these shows. And then I'm investing with Jake and I'm doing the Jake and Gino. I'm living according to my values. My kids are going to be at this boot camp that we have this weekend in Jacksonville for our Jake and Gino students. They're going to be there. I'm writing kids' books with my wife. I'm doing podcasts with her. I'm doing things that really align with my values. And every day I'm able to show up at work and really enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I think the saddest thing about this is the fallout for the kids. Those kids' lives will be forever changed from this. And I hope and I pray that actually these two folks come back together, right? I hope Tom and Giselle are able to work it out for the sake of their children. And, you know, wish them the best and see where it goes, right, Gino?
And it's really funny that as we're talking about this, my 8-year-old just walks in.
I was wondering what you're smiling about there, dude.
Over here.
I'm giving a heartfelt moment about these kids saying, I hope they come back together, and Gina's smiling. But no, I get it now. I'm sorry.
She picked an orange right off the tree in the backyard. She just comes up, and that's why I'm living values-based decision-making. Yeah. I'm able to incorporate my family. They're part of the day here. Hopefully she's doing a little bit of schoolwork today, but she went out and picked me a nice orange off the tree. But I mean, ultimately you can see the happiness that
farming checks the homeschool box, you know.
Dude, it looks like a nice orange too. So, like you said, I don't want to make light of the kids. I wasn't making light of Tom's kids. It's going
to
be tough.
No, that's where you want to see you want to see them pull this through, because ultimately, like, put the kids first here.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Jake, let me by wrapping this up, what I'd like to say is about this whole cryptocurrency blow up. I mean, you don't need to have all of your baby money's soldiers on the front line attacking. Right. You need to have some in reserve. We always talk about whole life insurance. Wouldn't it have been nice if some of these people had some money in whole life sitting there, cash value?
If you would have dumped that 45 mil into whole life, or even half of it, right?
I mean that would have, that it's safe. And the thing is the euphoria. And now what people are going to do is they're going to start selling their assets, and they're going to start looking for alternative assets that have less risk. And you should have been doing this all along. You should have had some of your baby money.
Irrational exuberance.
Yes, go into whole life. Some go into whole life. If you want to go, have some go into crypto, you go into crypto, but then all of a sudden you see what's happened to that. And it's just, use this as history, because for a lot of you, this is not going to be your last market cycle. This is going to happen again. Interest rates are going up. Markets going to start going down. Wait a couple of years for interest rates to go back down. That irrational exuberance is going to come back. What are you going to do to be prepared? Have enough money in reserves to actually be able to withstand when the market does go down.
100%. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.